Good afternoon, everybody. Can you hear me? Great. Welcome to the session. Hopefully, you've had a great 4 days at TechEd so far and have learned everything there is to learn about Windows Azure. And you're here mostly to understand some specifics and deep dives that we're hoping to do here for you today. My name is Chandrika Shankar Narayan, and I'm a lead program manager on the Windows Azure team. And with me is Vikram Desai, who's also a program manager on the team as well. And today we'd like to talk to you about monitoring and managing Windows Azure applications and services. So before we begin, just wanted a quick show of hands. How many folks have applications running in Windows Azure today already? That's at least 50% of you. And how many folks have attended more than 2 Azure sessions at the conference? That's the bulk of you. That's awesome. Great. Okay, so you've actually seen, hopefully, the keynote, Satya's keynote, Scott Guthrie's keynote, hopefully, and seen a bulk of the management capabilities. So we won't spend too much time in management, but we'll spend enough time to kind of lead and introduce some of the monitoring features and do a deep dive on monitoring. So that's kind of the agenda for today. Talking about agenda, yeah. A little bit about understanding what Windows Azure management is all about, and how do you instrument your application to be able to monitor your applications effectively on Windows Azure. So we'll walk through some scenarios, some architecture, talk about the monitoring features, as well as talk through the tools. Specifically, we'll spend a lot of time on the Azure Management Portal, the newly released portal from last week, as well as some of the third-party tools and some of the partner tools as well. So you've probably seen the slide. This probably looks familiar to you. As you all know, Microsoft has pioneered platform as a service for the last few years, and we've provided some rich set of managed scalable services, including the cloud services that are formerly known as hosted services that you're familiar with, storage, traffic manager, messaging, database, CDN, et cetera. So you're familiar with some of these services. With last week's announcement, we introduced some additional rich scalable services. As you've probably heard throughout this conference with IaaS, Infrastructure as a Service, we've introduced the ability to host both Windows and Linux virtual machines in the cloud. So Linux is a big thing for Microsoft to be talking about and being sort of more of a proof positive that we are sort of building an open platform. We've also introduced with the last week's announcement a bunch of new support for new languages, open source languages, as well as open source tools. And all of them are available through GitHub, including our SDK that is open source licensed as well. So with this introduction, with the introduction of IaaS, with the introduction of websites and networking, which provides connectivity for both Azure applications as well as Azure and on-prem, we're actually allowing you to be able to compose platform as a service and infrastructure as a service together. That's actually a big step, we think, and from having talked to a lot of our customers, it feels like it's a step in the right direction for people who already are using platform as a service. And with the introduction of websites, we are allowing you to host your web applications in the cloud, both in a shared mode as well as in a dedicated mode. You've heard, hopefully, a lot through the conference about the Windows Azure websites offering. Now, let's actually see how this really works from a management platform standpoint. You have a host of services that we provide that is available to you in the cloud, in the Azure cloud, and we are providing a uniform or unified REST management API that allows you to access the management aspects for all of these services in a rich fashion. And you can access them through a Windows machine, Mac, or a Linux machine. And we are also providing to you not only a rich management portal, which you saw hopefully a lot of demo through the course of this week, this was announced last week, a management portal that provides you rich management capability, but also the same capabilities available through PowerShell as well as command line tools, which was also announced last week, and the SDK that's made available already. Now, without further ado, I'll spend a little bit of time on the management portal and specifically talk about how do you get your application instrumented such that you can actually manage and monitor your application effectively using Windows Azure. So let me switch over. That's 3 right there. We've had some technical difficulties with this machine, so we're going to have to do some jumping back and forth between the laptop and the screen here, so hopefully that'll work. Let's see here. That's the mouse I need. Okay, here's I'm in Visual Studio, so before I begin, depending on what sort of service you're using and you want to deploy to Azure and manage your application with, we have multiple deployment options. If you are a PaaS customer using specifically cloud services, you're probably already familiar with the packaging terminology and technology, CSPKG, the definition and the configuration files, and the code and how that gets packaged and pushed to Azure. So the bulk of the work happens in Visual Studio. We also have, with this last week's announcement, integration with Team Foundation services that allows you to push your applications from TFS directly to Windows Azure. Now, if you are using other deployment packaging technologies, such as, for example, WebDeploy, and you're essentially focused on web applications, we have the ability to push WebDeploy packages to Windows Azure as well. There are multiple ways to do that. Again, you could simply sit in the management portal, and if you have a WebDeploy package that's ready to get deployed, upload that package via the management portal directly to Azure. You may actually have the web application talking to a back-end database, and we'll provision both the website and the database for you and have it run on Azure. However, if you are using open source technologies for source control, for example, you're using Git, or you're using a Microsoft technology like TFS, you want to push your application from a source control repository using WebDeploy, you can do that too, and the management portal allows you to do that as well. On the other hand, if you come from a development environment like WebMatrix or Visual Studio, you can again have support to push a WebDeploy package from Visual Studio or WebMatrix into Azure. So there are multiple entry points, or FTP is another one that I missed. So if you're pushing user code from FTP, you can do that too. So there are multiple entry points into Windows Azure, and the management portal essentially supports multiple ways, multiple packaging technologies to be pushed into Azure. I'm going to demo one of them here so that we can focus on how do we instrument this application such that you can have the application be ready for monitoring when you have it deployed onto Windows Azure. So I have an attendee web app that essentially allows me, Microsoft, to kind of manage the attendees that have registered for my conference. So it has a front-end attendee web. It has a back-end storage where I'm keeping all of my data and a little bit of middle tier that's doing some processing. So here's my attendee web. And in my webroll.cs, notice that I've actually defined a couple of custom perf counters here. I want to be able to track the number of homepage visits per second, so how many times a user has accessed my homepage. I also want to be able to have attendee details visits per second, so how many times a user has accessed my details page to look at the list of attendees, et cetera, to track usage and do some auditing. So I'm actually, by doing this, I'm actually defining my perf counters and registering the perf counters in my webroll.cs. And down below here, I'm also configuring Windows Azure Diagnostics. Since I'm using cloud services, Windows Azure Diagnostics is my basis for monitoring and metrics collection. So here, in this piece of code, I'm actually configuring Windows Azure Diagnostics to collect all of my app-specific perf counters as well. Now, if I go to homecontroller.cs or attendeecontroller.cs for that matter, here is where I'm actually accounting for emitting of my perf counters. So this is the piece of code that emits the perf counters to measure a specific custom perf counter. In this case, it's homepage visits per second. In attendee controller, I have the similar code for attendee details visits per second. Now, I also need another piece of data here in my web config. I need to be able to configure my system.diagnostics to configure the trace listener. This is standard stuff that most of you know if you use your cloud project today in Visual Studio. This is configured out of the box for you. If you use any other template from Visual Studio, you can take this piece of code and stick it into web config. So I've configured my trace listener here as well. The next thing I want to do is ensure that I've enabled this application for diagnostics. So here is my diagnostics configuration section. So I've enabled diagnostics here. The other thing that I can do is to specify which specific storage account that I'm going to push this data to. So this is already pre-configured. I have an account, storage account name. What did I have to do? I had to go back to the management portal. And here, if I go back to the Silverlight portal, this is probably something you folks are already familiar with. If I go to my storage accounts, I'm actually using this specific storage account, TechEd Diag storage account, and I'm actually looking at the specific storage key, primary access key for it. I'm copying this particular key back into Visual Studio here. I'm specifying which storage account this information goes to. So that's already configured. Now that that's configured, I should be able to also do one other piece of configuration. If I go to package, this is already packaged, so I don't need to repackage this application. But I also want to be able to enable remote desktop for this application. So I've enabled remote desktop by specifying things like certificates that I want to configure, the admin name, password, expiration date, etc. So this is configured again as part of the packaging step. Now that I've done all that, if I actually go to my CSDef, given that I've done all the pre-configuration, I can go to my CSDef now and notice that I have the two modules that I need for access for both of the roles. I have two roles in my application, one web role, one worker role. So I have the diagnostics module and the remote access module already configured by virtue of having done this pre-configuration for both my roles. And another piece of information to note here is if I go to CSCFG, I have the configuration settings, the connection string for diagnostics and remote access enabled as well for both of my roles again. So as long as I have all of this set up, notice that this is a lot of stuff that you're doing in Visual Studio. All of this is available through the APIs right now. Unfortunately not possible today to do this configuration at runtime, configuring the diagnostics module and the remote access. You have to do it prior to deploying your application. However, we're looking to make this accessible at runtime so that after you've deployed your application, you can actually configure the application for enabling diagnostics or enabling remote access. This is because we know that people, you know, you're running your application on Windows Azure in the cloud and you want to troubleshoot a hotspot that you ran into, you shouldn't have to go back and redeploy the application in order to figure out what's going on with the app. So today, while this is the set of steps you have to do, we want to be able to allow this at runtime as well. So now that I've done all of this configuration, this app is ready to go, and I can publish this application. Notice that I have, I'm deploying a specific hosted service called Attendee App TechEd. It's being deployed to the production slot, and I have the service configuration set up already, and I can go ahead and publish this application. So the build has started, and the publish has begun as well. So in a moment, we can go back to the Silverlight portal, the management portal that you're familiar with, so far. How many of you folks use the Silverlight portal today, by the way? Show of hands. It's very few. Okay, hopefully this number will change when we have the new portal. We should all try it out. Hopefully we'll have better reception and better usage for the new portal as well. Let me switch back. So I'm actually deploying the application here. Let me close this guy here. Go to the hosted service. Notice that I'm actually, I have Attendee App TechEd that is actually being created right now. And if I switch back to my cloud services, let me go back to all items and switch to cloud services. This is the new management portal that you've seen the demo of throughout the conference this week. So I have Attendee App TechEd that just got created. You don't see status for production or staging just yet because the application is not deployed yet. So if I now actually dive into this and look at the certificates tab, I should have the certificate that I brought in with this application already deployed. So it's in the process of deployment. Certificates have been deployed, so I'm actually able to see that. Let's switch back to configuration, and I'll show you some of the configuration settings that we've brought in from the application. Notice that I have the diagnostics connection string here that's already been set up because I brought it in with the app before publishing the application for both Attendee Web and Attendee Process Worker, both the roles. And let's go back here. Let's see here. We are stuck. Switch. All right. So given that you can see now the status has changed, the application is deploying, let's switch back to an already created app so I can show some additional features of monitoring and management. So let's go back to attendee management app. This app has been created. Let's actually switch back to the configure tab. It's been configured exactly the same way as the app that I just deployed. It has diagnostics connection string already configured. Let's switch back to the dashboard for this application. You'll see that I'm loading up a bunch of metrics that this app is emitting. There's some default metrics, perf counter metrics that I'm showing here, CPU, memory, et cetera. And some of these are available directly via the host, and others are coming from the guest OS, and we'll talk more about it through the course of this presentation. Additionally, I'm also seeing some usage metrics. I have two cores I'm using because I have two roles deployed, a web and a worker. So I'm showing the core usage as well. I have additional information about the application in my in the quick glance. So I'm looking at the location that it's deployed to, when it was created, the deployment name and the deployment ID for the application, which is pretty useful when you access the application through APIs or PowerShell as well. Now, I can go to the scale tab. You may have seen this a few times and heard through the course of this conference. I can scale my application at runtime. This is available through CSCFG today. We've made it available in the UI such that it's easy for you to scale your application. And I'm not going to do that right now in the interest of time, so let's not modify the scale. The other thing to note is when I go to the monitor tab for this application, I get richer metrics. So you'll notice that I pushed some custom metrics from my application, and this application that's been running also has some custom metrics that we just deployed. So if I hover over this line, I can see home page visits per second. This is a custom metric that I instrumented into my app before publishing it to Azure. I'm able to see this. I haven't hit the page yet, so I'm not seeing any values for this particular metric, but imagine that if I hit the app, which you'll see through the course of this demo, that you'll see some metric counts as well. Additionally, I can add more metrics. If say you had the need to have additional metrics, additional perf counters that you're emitting, you can add additional metrics through add metrics capability and show them in the, let's just add a couple here, show them in the monitoring page. You can add them to the chart. There's a limit of how many numbers, how many charts you can show, how many graphs you can show. But I've added a few more. I can add that to the chart as and when I want to. You can also delete so that if you want, depending on what kind of trending you want to see, you can add more more to the chart or less. Now let's go back to instances. One more thing to note is I have two instances I'm running right now. I can look at, I can remote into the instance if I'm diagnosing a hotspot in my application. I can remote into this given instance because I already configured my application for remote desktop. So if I say go ahead and connect, I have to enter the password. Think this is the right password. I may be wrong. Oh, that was not the right password. Let's try that again. User error. So right there, I'm actually waiting to connect into this remote into this role. It should come back in just a bit. So this gives me the ability to troubleshoot hotspots within this particular role instance if I want to troubleshoot this application. There you go. So I've remoted into this particular role instance. If I want to troubleshoot right here, I could spend time doing that. Let's not do that right now. So I'm going to close out of this session. Go back to the portal. A few other things I want to show is whip swap. So most of you who run in multiple different environments run into the situation where you want to be able to push your application to a staging environment. Once it's ready, it's tested, ready to go, you want to push it to production. This is a common scenario we've heard. A capability that Windows Azure supports today is the ability to swap between two slots, staging and production. So this particular application, the one that I pushed from Visual Studio, was directly pushed to production. This particular application is sitting in staging, as you can see. I can swap this application, given that I've tested and I know this is running. I'm happy to now push this to production. I can do a whip swap right here. What this allows me to do is to swap this application, same IP, to swap it into a production slot. Instead of doing this through a UI, I'm going to try and do this through through PowerShell. So let's see if we can try the PowerShell console. And all I have to do is, this is all set up. Hopefully this should work. So the service name is, let's go ahead and check the service name to be sure. Attendee Management App is the service name. And the name here is the name of the deployment. So if I go back to the dashboard for this application, notice I have a deployment name associated with this, Attendee App. So I need to go back and provide that information. So at this point, I'm swapping my application so between the two slots. So if I actually go back to the portal, I should be able to see that. Let's go back here for a minute. Attendee Management App. It should come back and tell me that it's doing the swap at this point. You have nothing. It says, if I go back to staging, let's switch back again. Tiny little bug when you switch back between staging and production. Let me switch to prod. At this point, it should tell me that it's actually doing this. Looks like the switch is done. That was quick. Let's make sure that we have the right subscription ID, operation ID. That looks right. Looks like the switch was done. That was very quick. So one other thing to show while we're here is all of the same features that we use for managing cloud services. Most of you have more than, how many of you have more than one Azure service that you're using on Windows Azure? At least a few of you. So if you're managing more than one service, you hopefully want a consistent experience, whether it's through the API, through the UI, or through command line tools. So through the UI, we're providing you with a consistent experience, whether you're managing cloud services, virtual machines, websites, or SQL databases, or storage, we're providing you with a consistent experience when you do navigations, when you do commanding, etc. So similarly, when you create an resource like a website or a virtual machine, we're providing you with consistent experience. If you want to create a given resource, a given service, very quickly, with the least amount of configuration, with the least amount of clicks, where you can use Quick Create to do that. If you are an advanced user, you want to have additional configuration options, we have the ability to do advanced configuration by using, in the case of website, create with database, create from gallery. In the case of virtual machine, again, you have a gallery create option. Cloud services give you custom create, etc. So let's go ahead and do that for websites, since we want to demo some monitoring for websites as well. So with websites, I'm going to go ahead and create a website from gallery. For websites, we have a ton of third parties that have provided templates for creating websites from. In this case, I'm going to pick a simple one. I want to create a blog for my TechEd visit, so I'm going to go ahead and use WordPress as my template. And here, I have to provide a name for my website. I'm going to call it TechEd Blog. And what this particular template requires, WordPress, requires a database in the back end, and it happens to be MySQL. So I'm going to go ahead and create a new MySQL database. If I had existing MySQL database, I could have used it. In this case, I'm creating a brand new one. I'm creating it in the East US region. I'm going to go ahead and say yes here. Notice that it created a default name for my database so that I can quickly get productive. And it defaulted it to the same region as the website, so they are both the database and the website are co-located so that I can manage my latencies and performance better. So the reason I clicked on the legal terms here is MySQL is a resource that was added by a third party, ClearDB. So talking about openness and extensibility, we're providing extensibility through the API as well as the management UI that allows third parties to come and plug into our management platform so that you can use essentially your existing assets as well to continue to work with Azure. So I hit OK here. So what's happening here is you'll see in the following slides that what we have is the ability to create more than one resource together, so sort of a composite, if you will. What this allows me to do is to go provision a website. as well as a database, because my website happens to be using a database, and link them together. In this case, I'm actually creating a connection string that then I'm pushing to the webconfig file so that my application is tied to the database, backend database that it needs to use. So this is deploying. I'm provisioning both the database and the website at the same time. It was successfully deployed. Now, if I go to TechEd blog, I haven't hit, this has been hit. I have a few metrics from having hit this website in the, this is odd. Let's go back to 6 hours. Let's refresh this page. Seems like a little bit of a bug here because I just created this TechEd blog. If I go hit this website, that should bring up some metrics for this as well. I'm actually not going to spend time creating this WordPress blog. I'll spare you that detail. Notice that I have a bunch of options here for deployment. I've already deployed the package in this case, but had I not deployed the package, I have multiple ways to deploy packages here. I can publish, use the publishing profile, use my favorite IDE to push the web application to. I can use TFS or Git. I can also use FTP to push the application to Azure as well. One other thing to note here is diagnostics logs. So we actually, by default, generate some diagnostics logs for you, and we'll go into the details in just a bit. And we can access it right now for the current portal through FTP. We're working to make it accessible through HTTP as well. But it gives you easy access to the logs, error logs especially, to do diagnosing and troubleshooting of your application. You'll see some of the same features that you saw with cloud services. I have the dashboard, the monitor feature, again, the ability to add custom metrics, et cetera. Configuration, again, I can configure diagnostics. Here, I'm actually going to go ahead and enable diagnostics, collection of diagnostics here. Let me go ahead and save this one so that for purposes of this demo. See how quickly I was able to update the configuration for this particular application. I can scale this application again. You may have heard in some of the talks through the conference, websites are offered in shared and reserved mode. So in this case, by default, I'm deploying my application into the shared mode. This is being shared across multiple websites. I can change the capacity, shared capacity for my particular website instance. I can increase the number of instances. Or if I wanted a dedicated VM for to run my website in, I can move to reserved mode as well. I'm not going to do that right now. Hopefully you've seen it all through the course of this conference. One interesting thing to point out is linked resources. So I told you that I deployed the website along with the database. And we have an API that allows me to link the two together such that I can manage the application together. So in a sense, I should be able to get metrics of the two managed resources together. I can get database metrics as well as website metrics. I can get usage data for both the website and the database. Also, I can get eventually, our goal is to be able to have aggregated billing information across the two resources because I want to be able to manage them together. So at this point, I want to switch back to the slides. Right. So what was behind the scenes for the management platform, what you just saw? Essentially, the unified management portal is one of the user interfaces that allows you to manage your Azure applications. We have a bunch of extensions like website, cloud service. We could also have third-party extensions, as I pointed out, MySQL being one of the classic examples. All of this is accessible. All of the same operations that you saw through the UI are accessible through PowerShell, through scripting, as well as command line tools. Third-party tools can build on top of the unified management REST API. The unified REST management API essentially is a layer for proxying calls, for batching calls, as well as for all of the security that you need to do to manage your resources. Now, the resources themselves expose APIs. As you can see at the bottom, the boxes at the bottom, essentially website, cloud service, IaaS, et cetera, and third-party services, their specific management APIs are exposed by them, conforming to the interfaces that the unified REST management API publishes. And the bulk of the management operations that are specific to the resources happen at the resource level, at the individual service level. And that's accessible through all of the tools, whether it's UI or PowerShell or scripting in the front end. Now, the application manager, there's some common services that are available to all of the individual resources at the bottom. Things like application manager, billing, monitoring, marketplace, etc. Application Manager, we saw an instance of the use of Application Manager in the demo. That allows you to stitch services together or resources together and manage them together. So it acts as a composite application and allows you to link them together in a meaningful manner, manage the lifecycle of the composite together as well. Aggregated billing is something that we're working towards. It's not quite there. But the idea is that you want to be able to get billing across individual, not only for individual resources, but across the resources that you manage in your subscription or across subscriptions as well. Monitoring, we'll talk about quite a bit in the next few slides and in the demo, allows you to manage the individual resources as well as aggregates across resources as well. Marketplace, we have two instances of Marketplace today in the portal. The ability to manage web app gallery, you already saw a demonstration of, as well as VM gallery, which hopefully you saw through the course of this conference. We have a slew of virtual machines, not only Windows, but also Linux flavors available in the VM gallery as well. We plan to add more to this capability so that we can have third-party services added to the gallery as well, to the marketplace as well. Now, about monitoring, those of you that, which is probably the bulk of you, that have on-prem deployments know all about managing single servers or clusters of servers. What does it involve? You're mostly dealing with static environments. You have well-known instances you're working with. You have traceable local transactions. All of your data and your tools are co-located, and they're on-prem. You can TS into a box. They're easily accessible. Most of you have integrations with source control changes that's directly integrated into your system. So most things are predictable. However, when you move to the cloud, things are dynamic. You're dealing with multiple instances. You're dealing with elastic capacity. Your workloads are distributed across geos. And most of the time, the nodes are not locally accessible. And the data is scaled out. So you're dealing with a lot of distributed access problems here. So monitoring, as a result, is very different in the cloud versus in on-prem. So some of the key principles we are using for monitoring applications on Windows Azure is, first thing, we want to ensure availability and performance of services that are running on Azure. And we want to be able to provide that data upfront to you so that you can troubleshoot your applications when you run into issues. The second thing is, it should be dead easy for you to be able to get monitoring out of the box by default, so zero configuration to enable basic monitoring. The third thing is, you shouldn't have to learn anything new or new concepts in order to do setup monitoring or use monitoring or diagnostics on Windows Azure for your applications. Those are the three key principles we're using for monitoring. As a result, at a 50,000 foot level, here are the scenarios we're enabling. We want to provide you with a single pane of glass for all of your application resources. If you're using a single resource, cloud services, great. We'll provide you with a great environment to monitor your applications. If you happen to be using multiple resources, which is the case for most customers, at least a cloud service and a database, or a cloud service and storage potentially, we want to be able to provide a single pane to be able to view monitoring and diagnostics and troubleshoot these applications in one user experience. Availability metrics, health and usage monitoring, some of that you already saw in the demo. User-defined metrics, we think it's really key that customers will want to have specific either custom perf counters or user-defined metrics that they want to monitor. The ability to manage storage of your metrics and your diagnostics logs, be able to set or configure retention policies, and be able to aggregate these across resources. Now, diagnostics is another key area we want to invest in. We're barely scratching the surface with this release. You'll see diagnostics available by default to some resources only. But this is another area we're investing in heavily, being able to detect errors or being able to provide notifications and alerts. There's a mechanism already in the user experience to provide, as well as through PowerShell, actually, to provide notifications as you do management operations. We want to be able to capture operation history as well. We've heard this a lot from customers, to be able to surface them in some sort of an operational log or admin log type capability. To be able to get your basic diagnostics logs in the portal itself or through other forms like PowerShell or scripting, and be able to provide a way to correlate across log error information as well. That's another thing we want to be able to provide. But there's some basic stuff already we provide in the portal for this. There's a couple of mechanisms we use for monitoring and diagnostics. For websites, we primarily use IIS logs for retrieving metrics and logs. It's available by default, so no configuration required for websites. You already saw in the portal that I showed a couple of metrics that was available without the user having to do anything when they pushed their application to Azure. You saw the WordPress application that just came through, and you saw two or three metrics that were already showing up by default. Enabling diagnostics logs from various sources. Again, this is also available without any configuration required for websites. Today, we capture failed request logs, detailed error messages, and IIS logs. We intend to capture more. Actually, I think we also capture some errors as well. Access to the diagnostics data. Today, we're doing it through FTP. We want to be able to provide HTTP access to the diagnostics logs as well. Now, for cloud services, most of you hopefully are familiar with, Azure users are familiar with Windows Azure Diagnostics. This is the distributed application monitoring and data collection mechanism for cloud services. We provide data from various different sources. Again, it's up to you to choose what you want to collect and how you want to, when you want to collect it. There's a slew of information, as you can see, event logs, traces, perf counters, both regular perf counters that come by default from your framework as well as custom perf counters, crash dumps, IIS, and failed request logs as well. We want to be able to provide the ability to manage multiple role instances in one place as far as metrics are concerned, and you saw that in the portal. And these are also remotely configurable. We saw some instances of that as well. What's under the hood from our monitoring design standpoint? So as you saw, the portal or PowerShell or scripting is your front end for accessing management information. You can access it, and that sits on top of a unified management API, REST API. We have a thin sliver of a monitoring service that exists primarily to do aggregation and normalization of data across all of the different resources. Now, the individual services themselves own pushing monitoring data to up to the APIs, up to the UI layers. So the website monitoring service provides specific monitoring metrics that are by default, that's specific to website runtime. Cloud service and VM monitoring pushes data specific to cloud service and virtual machines. They're sort of tied at the hip, as you all know. Storage monitoring pushes data through storage analytics. We collect all of this data through the individual discrete resource APIs and aggregate them at the Azure monitoring REST layer and normalize the data and push it up. What you see on the graphics in the chart is a lot of normalization that goes on behind the scenes and aggregation across resources as well. We'll dive deeper in the demo on this topic. As far as monitoring tooling options go, well, there are several. You probably are already using. How many of you use third-party tools for monitoring Azure today? Do you have a specific tool that you're using?
Server.
Oh, I see. Okay. There are several. At this conference, we actually had several of our partners come out and talk about it too. Obviously, the first thing is the Azure Management Portal. This provides you the one-stop shop, if you will, for management of your Azure applications, for configuring your applications, for deploying and provisioning specific resources to your application, for continuous integration support, as well as monitoring and diagnostics. It's the single pane, single view for you to manage all of this in. We provide aggregations. We intend to do a lot more through the portal to enhance your monitoring experience as well as do advanced diagnostics as well. Now, System Center already has a SCOM agent for Azure. For those of you that already are invested in System Center or need System Center for hybrid scenarios, System Center is a great option for you as well. We'll show a demo of that later on. That allows you to essentially, what System Center does is accesses all of the data from Windows Azure Diagnostics, from WAD, and pushes that data to their store so they can do some additional CRUD, additional computation as required, and expose it through the System Center Operations Manager UI. So they provide some rich monitoring and diagnostics, but they're accessing the data from the same source, essentially. But this helps with hybrid scenarios primarily, and for those of you that have investments in System Center already. And then there are partner and third-party tools. You'll see a couple of demos of Azure Storage Explorer, which is another one of those open source tools that's available out there for monitoring your blobs, tables, and queues where you store your diagnostics information. We also have a Azure platform, MMC, that allows you to manage your cloud services and also do configuration for diagnostics and monitoring. There's a ton of other third-party tools, Cerberata, AppDynamics, New Relic. There's a whole bunch of them that do performance monitoring, et cetera. There are niches that some of these third parties support, some of these partners support, and they continue to make Azure great in some sense. But we will continue to support a lot of core monitoring and diagnostics in the Windows Azure Management Portal already. So with that, we'll switch over to the monitoring demo. Vikram here will demo some of the monitoring features. Yes?
Just have a question. Can SCOM or other management and monitoring tools currently handle dynamic instances?
Yeah.
Dynamic instances.
Does SCOM handle dynamic instances? Is that
yes.
The question?
Yes.
I believe the data that SCOM gathers is not real time. I think they stored, but it's configurable from what I understand. So they store data for, five-minute intervals or something like that, but that's configurable to get near real-time data. Absolutely, yeah. Nice to have a SCOM person in the audience.
Explain the question a bit more. I'm talking about elasticity here. When we have farms, for example, that goes and shrinks, and all of a sudden we have dynamic instances.
Yes.
Now, how can management and
SCOM actually? The SCOM person should be able to do it, but it supports.
SCOM has an Azure MP using which you can go ahead and find your hosted services. We use the management API exposed by Windows Azure, and we can discover how many different roles and what are the different instances that you have. And if you're having a problem with a particular Azure instance, like you drop an event and you say that this is my criteria for a failure, we can show that and we can roll it all up. And so we can dynamically find it. And you can, in fact, run tasks to elastically scale out and scale back down using SCOM. Thank you.
How many of you use SCOM today for monitoring? A few of you.
Thanks, Chandrika. Can everyone hear me? Yeah. We'll go now next into a little bit deeper dive into how diagnostics and monitoring works for the various Azure services. I'm going to start with websites and go to the TechEd blog, which was created right now, and look at a scenario where we move from monitoring to diagnostics. And this is a typical scenario where, let's say, a website administrator is waiting on, like, administering his website. He goes in and gets his monitoring data on the dashboard. He can go and get more rich monitoring data in the monitoring page. As Chandrika showed, you can go and add more metrics. I'm going to go and add, let's say, errors, for example, and see if there are any errors on the website. This could indicate either if there are any problems with the website access or if the code that deployed had any issues in here. So in this case, while this was created, I actually had some errors induced on the website. And as an administrator, even though he has no access or he doesn't access the website itself and see if the website itself is working, there might be issues like 404 errors could indicate that there might be a denial of service or somebody is hitting an URL which does not exist on that website. So let's go and see why these 7 errors or 12 total errors occurred. And for diagnosing why this error occurred, we would need to go to the log files. So from monitoring data, we get an indication that there is potentially a problem. And we will go to the dashboard. And there is the FTP link which Chandrika showed where you can go in and get the log files for the website. So before I go into the log FTP link, I'll need the username and the password. So let me go in. I'm already logged in because I think I single signed on in. And at this point, you see that there is detail errors and fail request logs which are there for this website. So let me go and look at the detail errors and see what the problem could be. So let's go and click on one of the error pages. and see if what the problem was. In this case, as you see, the requested URL, which is /test, does not exist. This is one of the URLs that I hit once the website was created to induce the error. But this could indicate that somebody accessing your website, potentially a denial of service, or it could be a rev of a website where a site which existed has been removed. So at this point, you can go and either go back to your dev team and have that fixed, or address it through your network management and see if there is any external hits which are coming on a non-existing website. Similar to that, if from websites is one the where you get both monitoring and diagnostics, let's go and look at some other resources, Azure resources. Specifically, I'm going to start with storage. And if I go to storage, one of the storage accounts which has been there, storage by itself, as you see, by default, there's no monitoring metrics. Some of the Azure resources come with monitoring metrics, but as storage in this case, you need to go and configure and enable monitoring and diagnostics. The reason is that the storage monitoring data is stored back into your storage account, and this incurs cost for the owner of the storage account. So this is a specific opt-in from a customer side. So you could go in here and configure. There are various options to configure here. You could go and configure monitoring for blobs, tables, and queues from both minimal and verbose level. The difference between minimal and verbose is that in the minimal level, you get metrics which are at the aggregate service. So you get metrics for blobs, tables, queues, whereas verbose gives you more detailed data, which is operational level data for that service. So let's say if I were to access the blob and do put blob or get blob, those, how many put blobs or get blobs, those will be available when I go to verbose. Retention can be configured for storage data. It goes all the way from 1 to 365 days, as well as if you specify a 0, there is no retention, in which case it's managed by you. In addition to monitoring, for storage, you can do configuration of logging. This is data that you get from storage analytics, and logging data for blobs, tables, and queues gives you rich data on how, who accessed it, when it was accessed, what was the resource. Those kind of things come from the logging data. Currently in the portal, we can configure logging data, so you can turn on logging, but to view, we yet do not have a view for the log data in the portal. This is something we are working on, and currently you can actually get this data from PowerShell or third-party tools. You can download this data. So this is this gives you a flavor of storage monitoring and diagnostics. Let's go and look at compute resources which are based on VMs or cloud services. So I'll start with a VM. And for VM, as Chandrika mentioned initially, that the data we get is from the host of the VM. These metrics that you see here, which is a CPU, data in, network out, are data that comes in from the Hyper-V host that hosts VM. So from the Azure host, we get these data. We don't get any data for a VM from within the VM, because today the VM is completely owned by you. There is no agent running within the VM. You could run third-party agents or even do something similar to what Windows Azure Diagnostics does for cloud services. But out of the box, you get only data which the host can give for a VM. Moving on from virtual machine to compute services like cloud services, and here is where there is a lot of parallels. We can go to the attendee management app, and in the attendee management app, you'll notice that there will be data that is CPU memory. The CPU metric here is an aggregated data across all role instances. So in this case, the name of the metric is CPU for the attendee web, and attendee web is the name of the role. In this app itself, it just has one instance, but if you had like multiple instances, what would happen is aggregate the data at the level of the role. You can get instance level data as well as aggregated data in the portal. In addition, you'll notice that there's this memory metric. The memory metric which comes in here is coming from within the guest. It's not coming from the host. It is not a default metric. It comes in when you turn on Windows Azure Diagnostics and configure the portal to show the metric. And how, just to show you how it's configured within the portal, you go to the configure tab, And you'll notice that there's minimal and verbose. At the minimal level, you get just the host metrics, whereas at the verbose level, we configure Windows Azure Diagnostics with a scheduled transfer period of default of 3 minutes from the role instance, and the data gets stored into the storage account specified by the diagnostic connection string. So the prerequisite here is that you need a diagnostic connection string, and all you need to do is turn on from minimal to verbose. One thing to note is that we do turn on 7 default perf counters for all roles within that deployment. If you have any other perf counters, like custom perf counters, which are configured through code, as we did in the Visual Studio project, those would be merged with the default list. So in this case, I had in the code, there were 2 perf counters, and 7 were the default. So there will be 9 perf counters that are configured for collection from the role instance. Just to show you the configuration, I'm going to go and look at the Windows Azure Diagnostics configuration, which is also stored in your storage account. And for that, I'm going to use a CodePlex tool called the Azure Storage Explorer. And in the Azure Storage Explorer, once you can see the blob data as well as table data. In the blob data, you see that there is something called a VAD control container. The VAD control container is where the actual config for your role instances are stored. So this config is externalized from your role instance. This configuration can be configured from outside. That's what the portal does. And once the configuration is changed, the role instance periodically monitors the blob file to get any of these changes and apply it to the role instance. So let's go and open up one of these files, and I'll show you where the perf counters get configured. If you see that there are these 2 perf counters, which are the attendee details, visits, and home pages, which we emitted through code, and the rest of the 7 which are there are the ones which we configured through the portal as default perf counters. You don't have to go through something like the Storage Explorer and look at the config. There are third-party tools, especially things like Celebreta or even the MMC tool, which I'll just show you, which lets you configure this in a more graphical fashion. So let's go to the MMC tool. And in this case, I have this attendee management web. The attendee management web is in the production slot, and it's getting the data right now for this. And in this, I can go to diagnostics for this and look at how the diagnostics is configured for this account. So I can go to the role, which is my attendee web. I can go to the instance or all instances. In this case, I'm going to just go with the all instances. And this data will show you that, the perf counters have been enabled for collection. And this is just a graphical view over the same XML file. One more thing you'll notice here is that I've configured Windows Azure logs and event logs. So the main and the file-based logs. The main thing here is that I've configured this for collection so that when my app runs, if there are any problems, I get diagnostic traces transferred from the role instance to the storage account. So let's go and look at the app itself. I'm just going to hit the app once. I have induced an error in the app so that when the app is accessed, I will get an error when I access one of the URLs within the app. So let me go and go to the app. The app itself is a very simple app. I'm going to go to manage attendee list. And in this case, I got an error because I've induced an error here. So let's go and figure out what this error was. And to figure out what the error was, there are multiple options. All of this data gets transferred to the storage account specified in the diagnostic connection string. So I could go and look at the table directly. So I could go to the VADS log table and look at what data is here. So if I query this, I get a bunch of data here. And as you see, the last one here is the error data. And the error data is saying that there is a problem accessing the database. That was a problem accessing our database, which is the error I've actually induced. It doesn't give you a lot more data from here. But the fact that it tells you that a problem exists in the database layer, you could go to the database administrator and say that there is a problem here. Similarly, this data, same data, I can get from PowerShell. So I can go and get Windows Azure log. and I can get the Azure log here, and when I get the Azure log, it asks for the deployment ID. I can go back to the portal, go to my app, and let me get the deployment ID and type it in. There are a couple of things which come through the portal which will be needed here. It needs a storage account name and also the key where the data is stored. So I can go to the portal, go to my configure page, go and get my storage account, the diagnostic connection string. I'm going to paste this into a notepad so that I can copy and paste from here. And what do I have here is that I have an account. There's an account and a key. And let me go and type that in. Get the account name. Let me get the key. And I put the key in. And now all of the data which was stored is retrieved through the PowerShell layer 2. And you see the same error here, which shows the SQL problem. So this shows a wide range of tools, both from Storage Explorer to PowerShell to the portal itself that allows you to do diagnostics and monitoring. So what about the case where you have existing investments into System Center? There is a management pack for System Center to manage your cloud services. And I'm going to go in to the Operation Manager. And here, I'm going to look at my distributed applications. My distributed applications, as you see, I have a couple of applications that I've already pre-configured for monitoring through System Center using the Azure Management Pack. To actually configure this is very easy to. I just show you briefly how that's done. If I go to the authoring tool here, I can go and add a monitoring wizard. From the monitoring wizard, I can add a Windows Azure application. I give it a name. I create a new management pack. And let's say if I give tech ed here, go in here, create this, and take this name here. And if I go next, the one thing, I'm not going to fill this in, but the one thing that's shown here is that it asks for the, which cloud app do you want to monitor from using the Operations Manager. You give the subscription ID, the environment that you want to monitor, and in addition, some credentials. The credentials here are based on management certificates. So I have already uploaded a management certificate which authorizes me to access the cloud service from this machine. In System Center Operations Manager, I have gone and imported that management cert and created the credentials so that when I access it through Ops Manager, the same credentials are passed on and I can get data. So to show an existing app that has already been configured, I'll go back to the monitoring view, go to my distributed applications, and I can go to the attendee management app. I can get various views of this app. I can go to the diagram view and see what the app contains. This shows me that it is in production, and it has two roles. And if I further expand it, I'll get more instances view kind of thing. So this gives me the diagram view. I can go in and get health view and configure alerts if I want to. I could go in and get things like performance metrics which are configured. So if I go in here, I had configured for this the memory, and it shows up here. I could add rules for alerts where if memory is below a threshold, send an alert. So all that you're familiar with Ops Manager can be done here. It's accessing the data from Windows Azure Diagnostics. I could go ahead and look at things like performance metrics. So I'll go into the role instance performance counters, and you see that there are a few metrics here, memory metrics. There are memory metrics. There are metrics from like request per second. You could add more metrics here too. And this essentially is the same kind of view that you see in the portal. It's getting the data, analyzing it, and showing it here. So I have a couple of apps. So you see that metrics from my front-end web, which is a different app. I get metrics from the attendee process worker instance 0. So if you were to shrink or expand, there will be more instances which show up here. So So the same metric, if it is there for other instances, they'll show up here. If you reduce it, those instances will disappear. So depending on if you're doing auto scaling, scaling up or scaling down, ops manager behaves the same way too. So that gives you an overview of all the like the various tools that can be done for managing and diagnosing. I'll hand over back to Chandrika for summarizing what we saw in this session.
So we saw a lot today. Hopefully, not everything that you saw here was a repeat from the previous sessions. The focus here was to make sure that there was a deeper understanding of how do you instrument your application that you're deploying to Azure and monitor them on Azure. So essentially, we started by talking about the unified management portal that provides you a single pane of glass to manage all of your Azure resources and your applications. The user experience itself is designed, it's a modern HTML-based UI, as you know. It's scenario-based, so allows you to progressively reveal the complexity of the platform itself and allows you to manage your applications as and how your training applies. As in, if you're a new user, you want to go with all the defaults, it's easy to start and get started and deploy your applications and manage them. If you're an advanced user, you want to expose yourself to advanced configuration and manage your applications, we have the advanced capabilities as well. It's integrated with the developer experiences, whether you start from Visual Studio, whether you start from TFS, with source code integration, or you start with the third party like open source like Git or FTP, et cetera, you can deploy your applications to Azure and manage them effectively. The integration with Azure, with TFS provides you continuous integration from within the Microsoft platform if you're already using TFS. For monitoring, we provide you today the ability to monitor across resources, aggregate them, provide one view and a consistent view across resources to monitor metrics. Diagnostics, we allow you to capture diagnostics information. As far as cross-resource correlation with diagnostics errors, et cetera, we're working on that. It's on the path to getting there, but we intend to do a lot more for diagnostics as well. But we already have mechanisms to show notifications and alerts, and we intend to build on that infrastructure to add more diagnostics and correlation to it. The single unified management API allows both Microsoft as well as third parties to extend our APIs as well as extend our UI, our management platform, all up to build to support additional services as well as expose them through the API and through our UIs as well. So that in a nutshell is a summary of what we wanted to talk about today. So you've probably attended all of the above sessions that are related to this session. If you have any questions at this point, we're happy to take it. I imagine so, yeah. I apologize. It was a lot to cover.
In the demonstration showing the PowerShell, has there been any, you have the need to pop back and forth and pull values from the portal, has there been any thought given to creating essentially a page off the PowerShell portal to aggregate all of those values in one place?
Absolutely, yes. I was watching both of us do this, and it was painful to go back and forth, and I can imagine it's painful for you guys as well. So absolutely, we will have a mechanism to do that.
There is a concept of a profile for PowerShell, too.
Yep.
I mean, some of the data which I didn't show in the PowerShell, which I was already configured, things like subscription ID, I'd already set it. So you can do some of that pre-configured so that they're already available when you execute your scripts.
Any other questions, folks? Great. Hopefully all of you will get out there and start using Windows Azure and use the new management portal and give us lots and lots of feedback. We've been getting lots of feedback from the MVPs that have already been using the portal. We're hoping that many of you folks will tell us what improvements we need to do moving forward in the Azure portal as well, and please fill out the evals as well when you get a chance. Thank you for attending.